The next 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas, we're going to attempt to look at the Christmas story a little bit different, at least different for me. No reason for that except that I don't think we get deep enough into who Jesus is. He was born King of the Jews. Right. On the cross, there was a sign written in every language, those three that was common, the King of the Jews. He'll never, never, never not be any less than that. He saves the church, but the church and Israel don't replace each other. Can you imagine? And that's what I want to go through. The awesome teachings of the Old Testament, all the way through from Genesis to Matthew, that people can say now just doesn't matter anymore because they rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus, the Israelites, all through the Bible, didn't they? And if it's a matter of rejecting Jesus that they're not the so-called elect now, the church is, what says that we can't lose it? Huh? There's a church and there's Israel. And we'll get into more of that as we go further. But this morning I want to talk about Jesus, born King of the Jews. And I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for the songs that we've heard. Thank you for all those that are here. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless those, Father, that, Lord, couldn't be here. And we pray that, Lord, you'd heal their bodies. Lord, we do pray for those that we've mentioned, believe Miss Geneva. Lord, help her to get better from her fall, and be with Harold as he takes care of her. Be with all those, Lord, that have all the flu and things that's going on. We pray you'd raise them up real soon. Lord, this morning we pray that you would give us a greater understanding of how you work in our hearts through your word. And Lord, we pray that your word that you've promised to give us, that we would respect it and give it out and water it and see your work done. Bless us, Lord, as we meet today. We pray your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So we've got some men, wise men, astrologers, different categories that people put them in. But it's mostly believed that these were the same kind of wise men that Daniel was, that God gave him the wisdom and the understanding to give us prophecy that we still are looking to be fulfilled today. Some of it's already been. But these men, hundreds of years later from the day of Daniel, spent a lot of time looking at the stars, looking at the skies. They also had, in the book of Numbers and Jeremiah, different places, that they had the scriptures that they also studied. But now they have a star that was based on the prophecy probably that they had. And one day, as many as there were, we don't know that there was three. There was three gifts, but there may have been more. But as they were studying things that they did every day, there was a star that appeared. And that star appeared the birth of Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. If you look further, and we will probably next week, the Shekinah glory that shone over where Jesus was born probably was that very night that they happened to look and see that star. The glory of God filled the place, the Bible says. And as they looked, they began to go many, many miles. Don't know how long it took them. We're going to find out. It's somewhere between maybe 6 months and 2 years. And I'll tell you how we get that here in a little while. But they weren't at the nativity scene. They came later. And the most important thing that we need to understand is there was a literal star, a literal Jesus, and there was a way that they had to go. And when they got there, that star that they followed went away from them. And they talked to Herod, and then when they left, that star came back and led them to where Jesus and Mary and Joseph were. But the very first and most important thing we need to understand is it was completely settled in their heart, in their mind, from the physical, literal sign, the sight, and the word of God and the prophecy that they had. It's no different today. Many people are looking for different things. Some people have different understandings of how the end times are going to be. I had a man tell me the other day that he was convinced that folks like me was wrong, that there wasn't going to be no literal kingdom on this earth. There wasn't going to be one, he said, because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth. It didn't take long for me to show him and tell him that my salvation wasn't of this earth either. But it's physically and literally right here today, right now. We'll get more into that in a couple weeks about God's kingdom that we believe. But today, they were looking. They weren't disappointed. It was settled. They had their mind made up. They went together on a journey. And they went as far as that star would take them. There's a lot of us here today that's been looking and looking and looking, and one day we found Jesus, didn't we? We might not have been really understanding it like we was, but there was an emptiness inside of us. The world and situations that we have and things that go wrong in the world, we begin to question, and God lets there be an emptiness in our hearts. And as we follow that emptiness and we look and look, one day God will lead us to him. These men, Bible tells us that they were led by the star, weren't they? Somebody else would say, well, preacher, that's wrong. Nobody seeks after the Lord. The Bible says everybody seeks after the Lord after he begins to show you where he's at. He shows me first, doesn't he? In my reaction and commandment to obey him, I look for him. I search. I follow after him. And in the same way that they found Jesus, is the same way that every one of us has found Jesus. And just like in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to build on what we've been teaching. Last couple of weeks, you've heard me say that in order to follow the Lord, you can't stay where you're at. Again, they couldn't look for the Lord by staying where they's at. They had the light of the scriptures, the prophecy. And they had a literal physical light that they begin to start on a journey. And they never turned back until they saw Jesus. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Imagine the experience that they had for so long together. Say it did take almost 2 years. Every day, night and day, they saw the star. Every day, night and day, they searched the scriptures. Every day, night and day, they kept going forward and forward. And they had an awesome testimony to tell. That's happened to us, hasn't it? I got some family, and you do too. We've got some friends that's just come out of things you couldn't ever imagine. And God saved them, didn't he? Changed their heart and changed their life. And they've got a great testimony to tell, but who would believe it? How would Herod respect their testimony? When he found out, he was troubled. And all of Jerusalem was troubled with him because he was a ruthless king. And when he gathered them together, he asked them, where should Christ be born? And they said, thus it is written. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, because that's what the prophets say. We need to be talking about Jesus. We want to talk about ourselves. We want to maybe tell them how awesome God was to us and he's been, how he's changed some from this and that. But Jesus is the most important thing. And for folks to believe in Jesus, they need to hear about Jesus. especially when they can read about Jesus and when they can see the opportunity that God puts on their heart to follow the emptiness and the Word of God and the Spirit of God comes together. Then and only then can men be saved. But this morning, what does it take to go from God's Word, the spiritual Word, that we preach every week, that people have heard all their life? What happens for it to get to the point where it begins to convict and where people begin to follow it? Herod didn't see. He wasn't looking. He wasn't following. He didn't need a king. He was the king. And he wasn't a Jewish man. He was put up there by the Romans. He didn't like the Jews. He killed everybody in his family to get the position that he had. He was awful. He was wicked. He never saw what they did. He didn't read what they did. But he had a reason to find out about Jesus because they said he was the one born King of the Jews. This man wasn't. Herod wasn't born. He was appointed. He didn't want to read the scriptures. He didn't care about anything. But he was troubled. And the Word of God in the whole place troubled the king and the people. I know and you know that a lot of times the Word of God troubles people in many different ways. In this particular way, it troubled him in a way of revenge, of a way of really, really alarming his heart that he didn't want that to ever happen. It says in the scriptures that they read in verse 6, it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They didn't say chapter and verse, King Herod, where we read this. We'll read the verse to you. What a good thing to learn from. When somebody wants to know about the Lord and we've studied it and we know it, that we read the scripture to them or maybe even pull out our Bible and read the scripture. He was told by eyewitnesses, by people that studied and learned and followed God's word and Jesus' star. And all he could do in verse 4 was call his experts in. These were scribes. They were chief priests. They were Jewish people. He said, "And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they told him what we just read." And then Herod, in verse 7, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, the first thing that he needed to know was, where is the king of the Jews going to be born? Where is this going to happen? It might be that they're in the wrong place. It might be that they mean to go down the road. What he wanted to find out was, do you mean this place right here where I'm the king right now? That there's a baby that's been born? And he's not only the king of the Jews, but his governor and his rule is going to be to God's people, Israel. So that made a difference, didn't it? There's a lot of folks that are looking and empty and need some things done in their life. And if they could find out where do I go to get peace? Where do I go to get some comfort? I've went to church. I've been to this. I've done that. Where? The where needs to be answered, doesn't it? Before anything else could happen, Herod wanted to know where, and he found out it was right there. Where can you meet Jesus? In church? In your house? Anywhere, huh? You know why you can meet Jesus anywhere? Because the Bible says he's come to seek and to save those that are lost. The Holy Spirit's already been drawn, already been convicted. The where is already settled for Herod. And the where is settled for anybody here this morning that's not saved, that's not a Christian. The next question is not where, but when. Look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, what time did the star appear? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And that when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Herod had a private, personal meeting where he could work his charm, where he could maybe intimidate these foreigners. There's a lot of times I have personal meetings with some people, and they want to know, where in the Bible does it say I can't do this? And they're so bold. They've checked it out. There's nothing about that. And you know, it's almost always the flesh. I'm looking for scripture to either justify what I'm doing, or one that's so vague or might not even be there where I can feel good about what I'm doing. I never answer them, because that's not their problem. Because those folks that worried about that before they got saved, they're still having trouble with that stuff. But that doesn't mean they're lost. That means they're saved and God wants to help them in the flesh to get better and stronger and avoid those things. Isn't that right? So Herod had a personal meeting. He wanted to know, what time did the star appear? And we don't get the conversation, but we understand from the reading of the scriptures. Because here in just a little bit, I probably won't have time to read it, but Herod puts out the people to kill all the babies from 2 years old and below, based on what the wise men told him. So he found out where he was going to be born, Jesus. He found out pretty much when he was going to be born. And the star that had left them came back to them when they left Herod. And before Herod could send anybody out to kill a baby, Joseph was warned by God to get away from where he was at and go to Egypt. So when Herod had all the babies from 2 years old and under killed, he thought he had it covered, but he missed Jesus. All through the scriptures, the devil tries to bust the seed of the Lord. And he never can do it. He always misses, doesn't he? And this morning, the most important thing about Herod is he's just like a whole lot of folks today. Jesus was born the King of the Jews. His worshiping by the wise men was all worship of God, Jesus as God. I don't know if we'll get there in the next couple of weeks or not, what the offerings mean. But think about all these things, and I want you to turn back to Psalms 119, 105. Psalms 119, 105. Share with you a little bit about that seed. How do we know the spiritual seed that's planted? How do we know when it takes effect in a heart? And when do we know what to do about it? Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Two things. A lamp to my feet, okay? I've got my feet planted. I need a light to even take a step, don't I? I need a understanding to be able to go with the Lord, to learn from the Lord. Everybody has light. Herod had light, didn't he? He had light right there standing on 2 feet of where and when Jesus was born. The wise men had the same light. They had their feet planted. They understood the scriptures. They had the light. We have the light, don't we? We're saved. We're Christians. And we're supposed to go. But first, we need to have the light. We need to have the spiritual power. We need to have the intellect from the Holy Spirit. That's where it starts. But how many people have never went any further? How many folks have never took the light of the gospel that's greater understanding, bigger, and leave where they're at with their lamp and take their light and go on? That's what the wise men did. That's what we do. We have to get up from where we're at and go to see people saved, to teach people the understanding. Everybody has the light. Some of them have rejected it. Some of them have accepted it, received it. But we all need to go forward. We need to go where God sends us. So there's a lamp and there's a greater light. There's a spiritual understanding that I start with. And there's a great growth of intellect and understanding spiritually that I'm going to go and keep going and keep going. God wants other people to know what we know, to know who we know. And that's what the wise men did. It was not an accident. It wasn't a mistake. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses was in the wilderness, he operated by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, didn't he? To surround, to protect, to give direction. And as it stopped, they stopped. And as it went, they went. It was literal. It was able to see God's word as we go because it's a light. We have understanding that no one else can have. We know where we're going. We know why we're going. We know when we get there. And we're glad when we go back that we did what we were supposed to do. But we need to understand that other men need a lamp. They need a start, don't they? And their lamp grows into a big light. And right now in the church and most Christians, we're studying more about the lamp where we're at sitting down and not moving with the light and going out and spreading what's happened to us, who Jesus really is. You can, and I turned off my notifications, debates and arguments. They call it apologetics, and I apologize that I even looked at it and turned it off. Because it's all arguing. It's their lamp and his lamp, and my scripture and his scripture. And not a one of them have ever, that I understand, went out with the light. Literally went out with an experience in their heart to find out with that great light what not to say and what to say. When they got to Herod, they didn't tell him their journey. They didn't tell him how long it was. They didn't tell him anything. They told him about Jesus. I can tell you what I learned in college. I can tell you about Daniel. I can maybe look about Revelation. Tell you about end times. But I need to tell you about Jesus. Just like they did to Herod. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Verse 12. Hebrews 12, 4 verse 12. This is going to go a little deeper and a little quicker. You probably know it by heart. We're talking about the Word of God, the prophecy, the planning. And when does that take effect in a person's soul? For the Word of God is quick. That means alive. When we're saved, we're quickened by the Holy Spirit. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You ever seen a two-edged sword? One side's bad enough, isn't it? But there's a sharp edge on both sides that completely, the Bible says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Split asunder means completely in half, doesn't it? Completely divided. And the Word of God spoken that God gives us literally, the prophecy that we're allowed to understand, is very, very sharp when it's put in a soul, when it's put in somebody's mind, in somebody's heart. It pierces them and it divides their soul from their spirit. That's hard to do. You look it up, all the people that know, the professors, in the colleges and all the institutions like that, they say there's no difference in the soul and spirit. Well, God says there is. He says even His word can split it. But even closer to us than that, the joints and marrow. There's bone marrow in our joints. And some people need a lot, don't they? Have trouble with that. But the one we can understand in the same exact ways is the discerner of thoughts and intents. So the thoughts, the things I think, and the intents, the things that I end up doing by what I think. Now, when these two aren't cut asunder, and when my thoughts and my intents are mixed together, I can honestly be ignorant to the point of saying, I don't know why I did it. I don't know what I'm doing. I just felt like it. That's not spiritual. Everybody's got that problem. I'm saved and I still got that problem sometimes at home when she says, what'd you do that for? I don't know. But the thoughts and the intents, the lamp and the light, the lamp will do me no good knowing and understanding unless I take the light and go out. My thoughts aren't any trouble at all until I obey what my thoughts say. And until the Spirit of God and the Word of God spiritually goes down in the heart, they're still mixed together. And people can get by. They can judge themselves ignorant. And they can honestly say, I really don't know. I really don't understand. And there's a battle, there's a problem, there's all kinds of things. But when the spiritual word of God goes down and splits the thoughts from the intents, then God's going to hold them accountable and the word of God becomes spiritual. I know my thoughts, and before I do anything about the intents, I know full well about my thoughts. I know what I'm doing. I willingly and knowingly think and study and watch things and do things and around people that's the same way. But it's not until my thoughts that are completely separated. And as much as I know what I'm doing, when I intend to do it and do it, then I'm guilty before God. And He will judge me and He will judge you. This is good to know in a lot of ways. It's good to know as I go back, as I look at my own life, and even now as I grow, I can have some good intents and some good thoughts. I can think about doing, and I can think about praying, I can think about studying, and knowing that it's just by itself, and God, give me that thought, and God, give me that understanding. But I have to have an intent, don't I? And when the thoughts of God are right and honest and pure, and they're separated, aren't they? And I know it's from God, and I know it's going to be right, then my intents to do what I'm thinking is a great blessing to me, to many, isn't it? It's good to learn this with other people that you see, that you watch, that need help. They're not responsible before God. He's not going to hold them accountable much yet until those things are separated to where that person can know without a doubt that it was my thought and it was my intent. It's my lamp and it's my light. And look at Herod. Herod didn't have any. He was around the Jews. He watched them worship. He knew about the sacrifices. He helped build the temple and everything. But he never was bothered. He never was convicted until the word of God came one day and broke him down. And he thought all by itself, I got to get rid of this Jesus. I've got to do some things. This is so real. I mean, there was probably a bunch of wise men coming in with loaded down camels, possibly. They had all kinds of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They were the ones that used to, in the other place, would make kings. They were political. They were everything. And he saw them coming in, and his thoughts changed, didn't they? He thought what he was going to do and thought what he was going to do. But I first need to know where. The thinking that we have when we're against God and God's going to judge us is when we knowingly and willingly take our thoughts and say, I want to do this. I will do this. I'm planning to do this. And then like Herod, we do it. He had to know, what time did the star appear? I understand from the wise man, I understand from the scriptures that we're very close by. What I'm thinking could really work. What I'm thinking, I could really pull it off. Because I'm the king. I've got all the power. I've got all the rule. But I can't intentionally do a whole lot. Because I don't know where he's at. In talking to the wise men, it could be 6 months, it could be 2 years, it could be less. So when it came together, his thoughts and intents of his heart that were clearly separated, he could be judged and he could be held accountable. And he was. Because it wasn't long before he died. And God told Joseph in a dream, go back. Because them that was after you, they're dead. They're gone. What does this mean to us this morning? It means that we preach the gospel, we teach the gospel, we give the prophecy just like the wise men did. We look and seek after everything God wants us to have in our hearts and in our minds. We're not satisfied with a little lamp where we're at. We need to move on and get the whole light and grow and be stronger. We have to be on a mission. Because God wants the Herods of the world to know what we know. And he takes everything away from them for them to make up their own mind. And when a word of God comes and splits asunder the thoughts and intents of the heart, like he did with Herod, it's all finished. It's all over. But he never got a chance to do it because Jesus wasn't even in that area. He was already in Egypt. Because God's always ahead, isn't he? But this morning, we're going to face sometimes our thoughts and our desires. And we're going to be held accountable. When we know what we're thinking is wrong, and our intent is to do it anyway, and we can't mix them together. Because God's holy word, when it's spiritual, it'll cut them, won't it? And I would say there's a big, big percentage of the people that I talk to that I know without a doubt, they're not accountable. They're not responsible. They're in the process. They're on their way. There's a lot of folks that talk to me about salvation, about spiritual things. And you can tell. You know how you can tell? Because they haven't done anything yet. It's still in here. It's still in here. And I don't know what it is to reject the Lord when he wants you to be saved. I don't know how far that is to you. Do you? Are you going to look at somebody and have the power and understanding and authority to say, well, you went too far? Obviously not. They're still here, aren't they? Because when God begins, he makes an end, doesn't he? I think there's a big, 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 big percentage of people that really hasn't had that sword split their heart and mind wide open yet. But he will. Good news, bad news. Good news is you probably got some time, but the bad news is when it comes, If you don't change, and God splits that wide open, it's over. And it goes the same way for the good side. A lot of people plan to save, want to get saved. That's one of my questions to people. Well, do you plan to get saved? Well, tell me. Well, you really do plan, don't you? There's a thought in your mind that you want to get saved. But they're not. They want to, and then they go to the point sometimes where, well, I'm trying, or I mean to, or I'm not. That's not right. There's going to be a day when God puts that spiritual word, that sword in there, and it'll all be settled. They'll know. They'll think, I'm lost. And I know what lost means. And my intent is I don't want to do that. So they cry out to the Lord. And they know first, don't they? That it goes a good way. And we know because we see that their thoughts have changed. If you have the right thoughts and they've changed, the intent's going to be different. Because you just can't do wicked things with God's power. And we have God's power because we've looked and we've found and we've been received. And He receives us and we receive Him. There's a new life, isn't there? There's not a lamp, there's a light. And the thoughts and the intents of the heart have been changed just like they couldn't imagine. But this morning, it just depends, doesn't it? God's going to come to you sometime in your life, and He wants to make you to know what others know. And you do have a choice or a responsibility. People can just turn around and argue everything. People say, we don't have a choice. Well, you got a responsibility. A command is to obey, isn't it? When you disobey God, you're not responsible. I think it's a choice. I believe it is. But it doesn't matter to me. It matters to God, doesn't He? And wherever you're at this morning, there's a process. There's an understanding. There's a light that's coming your way. What will you do with it? There's a sword that when you know the sword's come, it'll split your heart wide open. And you're going to have to do something. I know when that happens. I've had that happen to me, and I've seen it happen to many people. And I know when it doesn't. And it's easy to see when it is, because there's a change. Awesome change. I want to ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.